This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It started with a kiss cam at a Coldplay concert, a couple, a kiss, and a cheeky comment from someone. But within hours, the internet had done what it does best, name them, shame them, and turned them into the latest viral spectacle. Were they cheating? Was it a workplace affair? And more importantly, was the global pile-on that followed even remotely fair?
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know. And if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Hello, Lauren.
Hello, Warren. Thanks for having me.
For those who might have missed it, what exactly happened at the Coldplay concert and how did it snowball into a global internet frenzy?
So it's a concert that was happening in Massachusetts, just outside of Boston, and apparently at Coldplay concerts, they have a Jumbotron. I've never seen a Jumbotron at a concert, but you've seen them at sporting events. It's those big things that blow up different parts of the action on the big screen so that everybody can see it. And each concert, apparently Chris Martin, the lead singer of Coldplay, does this thing where the camera pans around to different people in the audience and he might make a comment. And in this particular case, the camera pans towards this couple, and the couple are holding each other. He's standing behind her in a kind of, you know, you would read it as romantic. Mm. And when they notice that they're on the Jumbotron, she covers her face and the man ducks. And Chris Martin makes a comment that either they're very shy or they're having an affair. And because of the duck and because of the face covering, it created a spectacle. I'm not blaming the people per se, but had they just stood there, the camera would have panned past them because it's a rather uninteresting, you know, middle-aged couple. But because of the duck, because of the face covering, Chris Martin then made the comment, and that then led to it becoming a spectacle that people are still talking about well over a week after.
Do you think the level of outrage and, I suppose, you know, internet sleuthing was proportionate, or did this cross into cruelty?
So the initial part in the meme making, I think, is very predictable. It's got all of those elements of a story that people are going to lampoon. You know, I saw my favorite was mascots for a football team in Philadelphia, where they reenacted the scene, and it's sort of these two giant green monster mascots sort of hugging, ducking and diving. And it was, there's so much material like that that is funny. Now, that's the funny part of it. And I think there's not really I don't really feel bad, because these two people were canoodling in public. Even if you didn't think you'd end up in global attention, you were still doing something you perhaps, again, ethics is up to the couple themselves, but perhaps something you shouldn't have done in an environment where there are 20,000 other people with cameras in their pockets. Even if you weren't on the Jumbotron, you probably were going to get
caught. And TV cameras.
Exactly. So I don't have a great deal of sympathy for their life choices. That's up to them. Equally, I think that the response in people finding humor in such a scene, that's not my problem. My problem, though, starts to get into the territory where within half an hour, we knew who these people were, which means people now, because of facial recognition software, can work out who people are effortlessly. Then when you name them, you start identifying who are their contacts. And what happens was these people got doxxed, which means their public information is put online. People know their address, you know, where their family lives, really, really quickly. So that part is where I think this is very worrying. There's one thing having a laugh about it. There's another where you're putting people's lives in jeopardy, because there are the moral police who want to sort of, you know, get involved in this story as some sort of, you know, infidelity spectacle, as opposed to something that's, you know, humorous, even if there are real people who get hurt.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne about the Coldplay couple, a kiss cam moment that spiraled into a global outrage. Did they deserve the pile-on, or did the internet go too far? Text us now, 0427 569 949. Is this accountability or just public humiliation disguised as justice? Lauren, there's this idea that people, I suppose, deserve what they get when they go viral, but who decides that, and what are we basing it on?
Yeah, I mean, because if you deserve what you get, then you being in public space means anything that happens to you, you're somehow deserving of. And I'm not sure I believe that because I think in lots of contexts, people are filmed without their consent. I think though at a concert, it's a different story because no one is going to a concert in 2025 thinking that they've got any kind of privacy there. So if you're conducting an affair that your respective partners don't know about, and we know both of these people have spouses, that if you're going to have your affair in the presence of 20,000 people with cameras, I think you do have to take some level of personal responsibility. Again, I don't love the sort of the demonization of these people, but I think that unfortunately this is that some level of responsibility has to be taken, but that doesn't excuse people who are doing things that put these two people's lives in jeopardy. That can't be excused.
The text number is 0427 569 949. Marco in Preston says, sorry, but if you're cheating at a Coldplay concert in front of 60,000 people, you deserve it.
Yeah. I mean, and this is why I don't have a great deal of sympathy for the exposure of the affair, because I think they were being reckless. It's the other stuff where the doxing that I think is indicative of when the internet takes things too far. And that concerns me because it's a reminder to everybody how vulnerable we are if someone does want to track us down.
What about this comment from Tanya in Footscray saying, the internet was brutal, but maybe public shame is the only consequence some people ever face. What do you reckon about that?
Yeah, look, shame's something I've done quite a bit of research on because I find it an interesting concept, because lots of people do think this, that people will change their behaviour as a result of shaming. Most research actually suggests it doesn't, that when people are shamed, they actually get their back up and are now more dig their heels into whatever position. Now, admittedly, with infidelity, I think it's not really one of those things. It's not like shaming someone for smoking, for example, or public littering. I don't think we'll see these people have another affair at another Coldplay concert. But the consequence in this case is at least he, the CEO and founder of that company, has lost his job. Now, is that an appropriate response for infidelity? I'm not sure. I think that feels like a strange punishment. Is it a punishment that's just done to sort of PR manage their way out of this situation? Is it because they had some sort of morals clause where he shouldn't have been with the HR manager at a concert that was probably on the public dime? There are many questions we don't have answers to yet.
Liam from Brighton says, we don't need all the facts. If you look guilty, the court of public opinion will act faster than HR ever will.
Yeah, and the hands over the face, which is how she responded, is the global, the physical response to shame. That idea of shielding one's face is globally known as a signifier of shame. So him ducking out of the way, you could reinterpret that, but she certainly looked thoroughly guilty, and I think there is no culture on earth who wouldn't recognise hands over the face as a signifier of shame.
And we want to hear from you. Did the Coldplay couple deserve what they got, or did things go way too far? You can text 0427 569 949. Lauren, in a world where we talk about consent a lot, and rightfully so, how do we justify, though, filming strangers and posting it without their permission?
Yeah, this is an interesting question, though, because is Chris Martin really responsible here? And because the Jumbotron is really, you could say, oh, well, hang on, there was footage of someone at the concert who was filming their reaction, which is partly what got the attention, or at least it was the video that initially went viral. But Chris Martin orchestrated the attention on that couple. I'm not blaming Chris Martin at all in this story. I'm just raising that possibility in the sense that where would consent lie at a public event? It's kind of like if you're filmed in public space. You and I have discussed this before. It's legal to film people in public space. I don't like it. I don't like people being filmed without their consent. And you can't use those images commercially, but people have the right to film on the streets, as awful as it is. And I would say that a concert does feel like public space, particularly given that this was a big venue, not just, three people in a bar.
Noah in Glen Waverley says, I'm tired of hearing we went too far. No, we held them accountable when no one else would. And also this one coming in saying, do the crime, do the time.
All right, but is the accountability, the memes and stuff I'm on board with, that's fine, have a laugh for as long as possible. Is it not too far, though, to not only name them but put their addresses online? That's where, for me, that's a line. Yeah. I can't see a justification, because then equally we're also putting ourselves as moral, you know, as the morality police here. You may have a personal aversion to infidelity, but we don't know anything about their marriages. We don't know whether this is actually something that both couples are okay with. We're speculating here based on the fact that we see shame in their faces. We know nothing about it. I personally don't like the idea of doxing. I can't think of many situations where I think it's okay to name and give details of alleged perpetrators online. That feels vigilante behavior to me.
Lauren, what role does, I suppose, status play in public parlance? Does being a CEO or HR exec make someone more fair game?
Yeah, so I saw a tweet that when this story broke that basically said this was the whitest story, you know, CEO, HR, Coldplay, right? It couldn't have been more ingredients of white culture. But that idea of HR and CEOs being loathed, absolutely this story is continuing, because these two are in professions that people hold in low regard. So this idea of, you know, the 1%, I'm not sure what these two people earn, but they're certainly representative of a tier in society at the moment who are considered to be unsympathetic characters. Lots of people have had many bad experiences with HR, and therefore the woman is representing a part of our jobs that a lot of people resent. So the fact that it's the CEO and the HR manager having it off, potentially being paid for by the company, there's not a lot of sympathy there. I think it would be a different story if these were two people in a different sort of economic bracket, perhaps, or demographic, but that is definitely part of the appeal for a lot of people in mocking this couple.
This one's come in saying, lynch mobs are okay, witch hunts are okay. Lauren's right, vigilante, much Nurse James there. So that's a point, isn't it, from Nurse James?
I just think it's dangerous, because we know that there are lots of people. I mean, politicians in the United States is a good example. We had two assassinated, or one and her partner assassinated very recently. Their details were doxed. Their details were available online for people who wished them ill. And there are lots of deranged people in the world. And I just think that putting people's lives in jeopardy is taking something that should be funny and making it literally dangerous in a country that is chock a block full of guns.
Alex in Thornbury says, people say it's cruel, but I think the pylon makes people think twice. Fear can be a great motivator, but fear can be used for bad too, can't it?
I don't want to live in fear, though. I don't like the idea. I think that's really, I mean, certainly politically it sits opposite to my own views, but that idea of controlling a population through fear and fear of being shamed, I think is really problematic. I also don't want fear to be the glue that holds your marriage together. I mean, that idea is, we could have our own conversation about betrayal, but that concept, I think, it sits uncomfortably with me that people feel it's okay for them to judge, but then also think that the crime is worth putting people's lives in danger.
This reminds me of when I was a kid, two of the teachers were having an affair with each other.
Ooh.
And it was in primary school, and a bunch of us kids went into the, you know, the room where they had this thing that you printed copies out and it smelled like methylated spirits. And they were in there having a big pash, and we're like, oh!
Oh, my God, that scandal would have been... How many years were you talking about that for?
That went on for years. I'm still talking about it now. There you go.
Yeah, because we made one up of that at primary school, but we didn't really see
we
it.
We saw
just
it.
Pretended.
Shocking.
I can't believe it. Brilliant.
Now, Caitlin from Elstonwick, this is an interesting one. The internet didn't ruin their lives. They did. We just bought the popcorn.
Yeah. I'm conflicted, because I agree. Basically, this couple made a series of bad decisions in a really stupid place. So, yes, I'm mostly in agreement with Caitlin. The bit that I don't agree, which is the sort of when this started to turn, was when things that put them in jeopardy, such as their addresses being posted online. Don't love that. But, yes, all the other stuff, you pretty much brought it upon yourself.
I agree. Lauren, great to chat with you. We'll talk with you again next week.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Warren.
Thank you, Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.